You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
Hey, as we come back together, we're going to be in Psalm chapter 23 today, as well as a couple other places, but we're continuing in our series called Jesus Christ the Same, and today we're talking about presence, and we're not talking presence like it's my birthday and I'm here for presents. We're talking about presence or being present with someone, and we're going to be rehearsing how Jesus is present with us, and he has given us his presence and will not withdraw his presence from us. And the idea that he is with us and he's not going anywhere is a point of great care and great encouragement. I want to give a little bit of a heads up. If we happen to get a little discombobulated with the slides today, it's not Megan, not at all. She's phenomenal and a good mind reader. I had a little snafu this morning, and in the middle of that snafu, kind of got a little bit of a curveball as far as where we are headed today. And so Megan's going to try and make it work. So thank you for your patience, Meg, and everybody else. If you look up there and think, if you get distracted by what he's talking about is not what that slide says, it's okay. It's not her. It's just me. And it's my birthday, so indulge me, please. As we embrace the idea that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we can know it in our head, but be very difficult to embrace it in our heart and in our life because so much of our life changes. Joni was talking about how much she has rubbed off on me, and also, you know, I don't know if it's unfortunate for her or not, but I've rubbed off on her as well. And there's times where we're driving down the road, and I'm driving, and she is side passenger driving, like aggressively. And what makes me incredibly sad about this is that was me for 20 years with her. And so it's not like I can tell her to knock it off, quit telling me what to do, because all I hear is you did this with interest for 20 years. Not because she wasn't a good driver, it's just because I was better at telling her what to do. And so it's been an interesting while. We'll see what happens. We have a fall conference that our staff will be attending in Sacramento this week with the other churches from the Foursquare Church in the Western District. And that'll be Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And we will see how much I've rubbed off on my wife if she actually unpacks her suitcase upon returning home. I think our over-under on the longest time between actually coming home and unpacking is not one, not two, not three, but 6 months living out of that. Yeah. I tell you the truth and I am not lying, just like the Apostle Paul said, that's what happened. And so at some point it bothered me. I don't care anymore. I don't care. It's not my stuff. You know, you want to knock yourself out, babe. That's a change. When we think about Jesus being the same in the context of him being with us, it's pretty significant. When Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing that they did was they created for themselves some sort of covering out of plant leaves, and they went and hid in the bushes because they were afraid. They were separated from God, and it's interesting that he did not leave them alone apart from him. He pursued them. The story of redemption in Scripture is found in our God pursuing us for relationship. And the thing that, just of the many things Tim said, if you really, I mean, I know it becomes a part of the podcast later on and part of the service that's broadcast. There's so much good stuff that was shared when Tim talked this morning in that 5-minute communion blip. If you ever wrestle with shame, go back and listen to this. What God speaks to us regarding our standing with him is based upon him and based upon his goodness. So forever, religion has existed to find a way for people to create a relationship with God. God established relationship by saying, this is how things will be between us. Going back into the book of Genesis, when he called Abraham, as he established a covenant with Abraham, he says, this is how it will be between you and I for all time. That is something that applies directly to us. One of the signs of God coming and God making a severe change in how things had worked is when he promised, I will come myself. And in Matthew chapter 1, it talks about how there will be a sign that's fulfilled from Isaiah where the virgin will give birth and you will call the child's name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And instead of being or seeming far away, God was intersecting humankind in that century for the express purpose of establishing a relationship. And as Jesus left, he told his disciples, I'm not going to leave you alone. I am going to not leave you as orphans. I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit as a promise and a deposit that I am going to be with you always, even to the very end of the age. And so Jesus is not physically with us. The Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit is a deposit of Jesus's promises to us and also the proof for God saying, I will never leave you or forsake you. So when I was looking at the idea of God's presence and how we engage with God's presence and how that affects us and the sameness of God's presence, I counted over 100 scriptures in throughout the Bible that talk about God's presence and his promises to not leave. And I found that there's a whole lot, and it shows up in marriage and wedding language. It shows up in when people are signing a letter of intent or they're making a declaration, this is how things are going to be. One of the things that has to be included is what's going to happen when things get difficult. The times when I'm doing a wedding ceremony that I like to spend time talking to the couple about beforehand are the for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer. In joy and sadness, in sickness and health, forsaking all others, being faithful to each other as long as you both shall live. The reason I spend time on that is not just so that we get the wording right during the ceremony, but because there are very few of us who actually would enter into that marriage relationship thinking about the for worse, or the in sickness, or the in sadness. But those are a part of life. Being a person who belongs to Jesus does not exempt us from hard things. One of the things that causes people to question or doubt their faith is when you go through circumstances that don't seem to indicate that God is actively working on your behalf. It seems like he's not, or he's far away. A friend of mine years ago had done something wrong and had been arrested and broken the law, and he is going to be sentenced. And when the judge came time to sentence him, the sentence that he got was the maximum sentence he could get for the crime that he'd committed. And he was a Christian, his family were Christians, and it did not feel at that moment like we were experiencing the grace and mercy and justice of the Lord in what had happened with him. But even when things feel the most off and wrong and un-Christ-like, he is still with us, because he does not go anywhere based upon our circumstances. He does not go anywhere based upon how we feel. He is always there. Anybody besides me has ever felt God is far away? Or when you pray, somehow, some way, the prayers hit the ceiling and bounce back? That's normal. The enemy wants you to believe that the world that we live in is all that there is, or that you can define for yourself what truth is. Jesus says, no matter what you feel, no matter what the circumstances are, I am with you. I'm going to read a few scriptures from Deuteronomy, from Psalms, and from Hebrews before we head to Psalm 23. Deuteronomy 31:7. Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. And you must divide it amongst them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Hear that. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 9:10. Psalm 37, 25 through 28. I was young and now I'm 52. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. As I mentioned, there are literally more than 100 verses speaking to God's promise on this is how things will always be. And I had intentionally used marriage language a little bit earlier because when things are going for worse, when things are going for poor, when things are going for sickness, when things are not the way they're supposed to be, we get kind of caught up into almost like a survival mode, and we're trying to grasp at anything that we can hold on to. And these things here, the things that we're talking about today, are reminders to us that our faith in Christ is made for difficult times. It's not just for difficult times, but we especially sense the goodness and the presence of God when we are going through hard times. When everything is shaking, we find the one thing that is not is Him. When everything is out of control, we find the one thing that is not is Him. When everything seems like it's upside down, we find the one thing that is not is Him. And even if nothing changes about our circumstances, we can know we are not going through those things alone because He is with us. Because of sin in the world, because of the dominion of the prince of this world, our enemy, who has dominion over this planet, things work a certain way. God Himself inserts Himself into the process to make a way for us to have relationship with Him, and He will walk through the valley of the shadow of death with us. We're going there. We are never alone. Last week, Cassidy gave an incredible selection of scriptures on God's truth and His sameness, regardless of what we feel. Let these words sink deep into your heart that you can know He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Immediately, what often will come to mind is, but what about when we feel like God isn't around? What happens if we feel like He's far away? What happens if we feel like He's apathetic? People devise an entire belief system on, like, if they're agnostic, they believe, like, yeah, maybe God's around, but there's no way we can know Him. Or they think, you know, people like George Washington had a belief that, you know, God had created the world, but then He got busy with other things and is kind of not concerned with us anymore. And there's other of our founding fathers and founding mothers who believed different things about God. You know, Thomas Jefferson was one of those people. If you can trust, you know, internet memes, he said all sorts of stuff. But what he actually did is he had a really hard time, based upon his life experiences, believing that God was who he said he was. So he took his own Bible and he cut it into pieces and he made the Jefferson Bible. This is probably how it really works. Ultimately rational, ultimately believable, ultimately a misrepresentation of our Father in heaven who says, I'm never going to leave you, I'm never going to forsake you. That's not to throw rocks at Tom or history. It's simply to say, he's a heck of a lot smarter than I ever will be. He missed it. Oftentimes, those that are wise in this world get so caught up in gaining more wisdom that we miss the very source of the wisdom that says, in a counterintuitive way, in a counter-understandable way, God is never going anywhere, and He's with us, and He's not going anywhere. When God seems like He's not answering our prayers, when it seems like our life is falling apart, when our emotions are all over the place, and we think about, you know, how together am I, and we're not together at all. When we're going through negative circumstances, and it seems like one thing after another is cascading, and even we can look at it and think, there's things I've done to cause some of the things that I'm facing, God is still there. Let's open up to Psalm chapter 23. I have a couple verses from Psalm 23 up here. I'm going to read the whole chapter. This will be coming from the NIV. The verses up here are from the English Standard Version. It says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Megs, let's put that. Okay, good. It's still up there. In the ESV, He, God, leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here's the thing. As I'm sitting in my office this morning, I'm wrestling with this. I don't like to do any studying on Sunday morning. I like to do just reading over and congealing thoughts, kind of like if you have ever made pudding from scratch. Okay, I don't know who you are. I make pudding from the Jell-O box because that's how God intended for us to make pudding. Chocolate pudding, he made that. I can remember one birthday, Marcia made me some chocolate pudding and brought it up here for me. You don't have to do that anymore, but if you want to, that's okay. I'll receive it. But you know how you stir the chocolate pudding up and everything's all mixed up and you put it in the fridge and it goes in this like liquidy mess and it comes out chocolatey, gelatinous goodness? Yes. I'm trying to cause my thoughts to congeal and I keep coming back to these scriptures about God being my shepherd, God being my provider, God being my protector, God being the one who leads me, God being the one who is with me even in the valley of the shadow of death. And something punched me in the face. And what that was is this. As David is sitting probably in some hole somewhere with a whole bunch of sheep behind him in this cave, as he's writing it, you know, a sheep pen back in the day, especially in the hill country of Judah, was a big cave. And he'd roll a rock or a series of rocks in front of the cave so nobody can get in. As he's writing this, he's referring to the Lord who does the same job he does with the sheep is doing that job with him. And so often, I don't know if you've ever seen, I mean, I am a city boy and I am a inside man. But I enjoy learning, and I like to watch outside things, okay? I don't want to do the outside things, per se, but I like to watch the outside. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? So I love YouTube videos of shepherds with their sheep because it's cool what they can make the sheep do. The sheep will follow the shepherd wherever the shepherd goes. And one of the, it's like, it reminds me of my days being a junior high youth pastor and going to camp on the last day of camp, and we're releasing all the people to go back home, and you've got 500 junior high students from all over California, Nevada, and Utah who are filling Old Oak Ranch, and they're everywhere, and it's time to go. You know, they haven't left your side all week, but on the day that you're supposed to go, you can't find anyone. There's nothing anywhere. They're just like, you have no idea. And it's not like you can leave them at Old Oak Ranch. It's frowned upon to leave children behind. I was watching this YouTube video of three shepherds that show up at an intersection. When I say intersection, I mean wilderness crossing. And they each have a couple hundred sheep. And those sheep all gather together and they're all mixed up. And I immediately think, junior high summer camp. How is this going to work? I can tell you how it worked at summer camp. We hang out until we have to scrape the junior hires off the ceilings and put them in the car. And, you know, they've had enough sugar from the sweet rolls that they had for that day. They bounce off the wall until we go down the Old Oak Ranch Road. And then everybody would pull off to the side of the road. And everybody who had too much barfs on the side of the road, because that's what you do. That's the Old Oak Ranch experience. Anybody besides me ever had that? Okay, there's, yeah, several of us have had that experience. And finally, you know, everybody passes out and it's like, finally, it's peace and quiet. How do the shepherds do this with all the flocks mixed up? They just keep walking. They get to the other side and then they call their sheep. You know what? I did that at Old Oak Ranch. Guess what happened when I called the junior hires? Nothing. Nothing happened. Or even better, they wave. Hi. It's like, come on. But these shepherds, they're calling the sheep. And it's amazing because as the sheep are intermixed and they're bouncing around, as they see the shepherd and they immediately respond to the voice and they go running because they know and they trust that their shepherd has something good for them. And they know this because the shepherd is always with them. He's never left them. He's never abandoned them. They also know if they get in trouble, he's coming looking for them. One of the highest points of accusation that God ever does against the leaders of Israel, he does, I believe it's in Ezekiel, where he talks about the bad shepherds who don't care about the sheep, who let them be devoured, who let them stray, who let them bail. And he says, I'm going to raise up a shepherd who is going to be a good shepherd, who's going to care for the sheep. And he's referring to Jesus, but he's also referring to people who will help to care for each other and who will be on the lookout for each other. And just as these shepherds are calling their sheep and all the sheep are running to them, they are trusting that their shepherd knows something they don't know. And as much fun as they'd like to have hanging out with all the other sheep and doing their thing, even if they feel isolated or alone, they can know that their shepherd will never leave them. Their shepherd will never forsake them. This hit me today because I think of God as a deliverer. That's one of the aspects. I've seen him come in and deliver me. I've also seen God come into situations and nothing changes on the outside, but everything's okay on the inside. In some of the darkest nights of the soul I've ever had, I've been crying out to God and I didn't get my question answered, but I received peace that was beyond the circumstances I was facing. And that's not because, well, you're a pastor, you get special dispensation. I don't go to God as a pastor, ever. I go to him as Louis. I go to him as a son. We never bring our titles with us. You think when I get to heaven, I'm going to be sitting with the other pastors? No, because we will all be, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and every color, every ethnicity, crying out the praises of God to him. And we learn to respond to God's goodness and his presence by spending that time with him in his presence. Here's the thing that messed with me this morning. I never think that the circumstances I get into, God's trying to put me into a messed up situation because he just wants to see how I'm gonna do. But I do know that our enemy, the devil, wants me to be in situations that are meant to break me. However, God will never let me endure something that is beyond what I can handle. That doesn't mean I will never experience something that's beyond me. Because I think it's in 1 Corinthians 10. It says, you will never be tempted beyond what you can handle. You'll never be put in a situation that is beyond your ability to trust God. But you will be in situations where it will feel like you've been crushed. You'll be in situations where it feels like you're completely isolated and alone, where it feels like your lungs have been ripped out through your nose with somebody's teeth, where there is nothing left. You are a shriveled slime on the side of the sidewalk. Lower than low. You will feel that because that is part of the human experience. But what we have in Christ is someone who says, I will be with you in the middle of that. And that which the enemy means for evil, he will work for good in us. Here's the thing in Psalm chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. There is nothing, there's no time that I will ever be without what I need. Not what I want. What I need. I don't know what I need. I could tell you, I think I do. Joni and I, as we're going to Sacramento this week, we look at the weather. What's it going to be like in Sacramento? Guess what? Hot. I'm not going to be needing a coat in Sacramento this week, but I'm going to take one because my wife said, I don't know what I need, but I know that I'm going to get what I'm supposed to get from my Father in heaven. I would think if I was a sheep, I would be a good sheep. As all the firstborn sheep can tell you, we don't need to be told what to do. We want to help show other people what to do. But Scripture tells us, and we're compared to sheep, because in the circumstances, what we need is not often what we will do. In Psalm 23, he, my shepherd, if I'm in green pastures, what am I going to do? It says, well, he makes me lie down there. Why? Well, if you've ever seen a little kid refuse to go to sleep, that's us when it comes to the rest that God wants us to receive. He makes us lie down in green pastures. Because of our own accord, we will see the green pasture and we will run around and we will run away and we'll go other places. Have you ever seen the movie Up? You know about Doug. Doug is a great dog, and then he's squirrel. You know, he's just so easily distracted. Great metaphor for us and how we think. I would never be made to lie down in green pasture. I would just go there. No, you wouldn't. You watch it happen. I watch my grandkids. They can barely keep their eyes open. You gonna take a nap, honey? No, I'm fine. On a play, it's like, yeah, you do. Just watching. So he makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. Why? Because we run to wild waters. We go to the, looking. Let's get over here. It looks exciting. It looks great. Not long ago, if you've ever driven out Pyramid Highway, I'm not talking far, just like past Queenway. What's the name of that new street off Queen? Par? Far? Far. It's far. It's far. It's between where Disc is and where Queenway is. It's kind of in that area. And off to the left, there is like a miniature mud puddle. And by miniature, I mean it's big enough for people to get stuck in. And whenever there's water from the sky or from the ground, it opens up. There's a whole bunch of people that will go out there and drive their trucks there. And after an especially significant rainstorm, you're going to get driving over there and you're going to see two or three minimum trucks stuck in the mud. Why? Because they thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out there and I'm going to drive my truck through that. What about the 343,216 people who've done this before you and got their truck stuck? Well, I'm different. Have you seen my rig? I'm going to get out there and do this. And they go out and they get stuck. Or you have the people who decide they're going to do it especially fun at night, which is like extra fun. And they're driving around. And if they happen to make it through the mud, I can't tell you how many people I've seen as they're driving around out there. Literally, in the morning you come by, and there are like little ditches in that big old field. And you will see trucks with their front end into the ditch. Just like every other time when there's ever been somebody driving on it. Somebody's driven into the ditch. Why? Because. I want to do this. It's going to be great. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. We gravitate towards things that can be destructive for us. We gravitate, and I'm not talking about trying to live safe. I hate that word safe. Jesus isn't safe, but he's good. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. One of the things about being in the presence of God is it causes us to be restored. You cannot spend time with him except that you will be changed. It's one of the primary things that I love the most about gathering together. Over this last year and a half, we've really learned that we can keep in touch to an extent online, and we can stay kind of connected from afar. But there's nothing like being together with people. It's not because this place is special. It's because when we're together, we get to experience the presence of God together. And the reason we're gathered here is not because we're all 49er fans. We're here for Jesus. And because we rally around Jesus Christ, we have a common connection that goes beyond anything that we're ever going to experience on this planet. And because we have that connection with him, we can know that we will receive what we need from him. Not necessarily what we want, but what we need from him as we go forward. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Here's that messes with me. He will, let's put that back up there, Megs. Psalm 23. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Some of us have, and all of us will, walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Dark times. And it's not always because something bad happened or because we're going through something that's different than the human experience. It may be because we're walking in paths of righteousness that our God is leading us in. I'm not talking martyrdom or some. I'm not talking about that. Could be, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about we cannot equate the ease of the life that we experience with the presence of God. because he may lead us in paths of righteousness that take us through the valley of the shadow of death. We will experience that. We sang a song this morning, I will raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. When we are surrounded, God is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. His presence is with us in the valley of the shadow of death. The worst thing that our enemy, the devil, can do to us is take our life. And if we lose our lives, we have the promise of God that we are immediately physically present with him. So the whole thing about wanting God to be with us and never forsake us and walk with us and direct us comes down to there is nothing, neither height nor depth, nor principality or power, no angel, no demon. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. He is with us. He is for us. He's working on our behalf. And even when we're at the darkest times, he's there and he's not going anywhere. He is with us. And even more than that, he prepares a table. He provides for us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil as a sign of blessing. My cup overflows. I have even more than I need. And his goodness and his love and his mercy are following behind me all the days of my life. And I will dwell, not visit, but dwell in his house. This is the same thing. When Jesus says, I'm going now to be with my Father and prepare a place for you, he's preparing a place for us because there will be a time we go to that place. In the middle of all the difficulty and the struggle and the challenge that we experience, you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt the presence of God is with you. And sometimes you can feel it. And sometimes it feels as far away as the east is from the west. Close your eyes for a sec. If you got your eyes closed, you cannot see all the people in this room. You trust that they're still there. Open your eyes. What was different when your eyes were closed versus your eyes were awake? Open. You eyes are closed, you can't see it, you open your eyes, you can. There are times in our relationship with God where everything seems dark, everything seems isolated, everything seems alone, everything seems distant, and it's the same as just as if we had our eyes closed. He's still right there, and he's not going anywhere. You can lean on God in your best times, but especially, know this, in your worst, he is right there, and he's not going anywhere. It is his promise. He has you. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to reject you. He's not going to cast you away because of something you've done wrong. He is going to work in you to accomplish that which he has begun. He's going to pick you up, dust you off, apply the grace necessary, and empower you to keep going forward. And what we get to pass on to the next generation is the goodness of God and the presence of God and the practice of receiving direction from him, because he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And when we're being led, it's not always a place we want to go. But if he's there, I can do that. I don't know if this is a good example or not, but this is what I'm closing with. I like my wife. There are times in our relationship, especially at the beginning, where she wanted to go places and do things that I did not want to go and do. It wasn't weird. She thought it was fun. You know, staying at a wedding long enough to get the cake. I'm good without cake. Weddings are usually crowded. I don't do well in crowds. Over the years, I've come to trust that what my wife really wants for me is the best for me. Not because she's trying to mold me and shape me into something else, but because she's committed her heart and her life to me and to us. And I've learned a lot about the never-leaving, ever-present love of God through my wife, loving me and being consistent. And I can see that there's times where I'm growing and it freaks her out when we're out to eat and I say something crazy like, you want to share food? I grew up with three brothers, the four of us. We didn't share nothing. I'm walking through the kitchen today and I see those Finhard's sweet rolls and I can remember how much blood was shed in my home around those Finhard's sweet rolls as my brothers and I have battled and, you know, for the apple one, the one with the apple stuff in the middle, so choice. But I've learned through my relationship with my wife, through faithful friendships with others, that when God's leading me places, even if it is everything in me is like refusing to go, I can still know I'm going to a good place. It's going to be something that God is going to work for good in me because I love him and I'm called according to his purpose. You're not separated from God. He is with you. He is for you. He's working in you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's making you lie down. He's leading you in spots, and he's with you. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Lord, I thank you for your presence. Where can we go to escape it? Nowhere. I would ask, Lord, that you would put in concrete in our hearts today an understanding of your great love for us and also your great presence. I thank you in advance for the work that you are doing to remind us that you're the one who accomplishes the hard things. I thank you, Lord, that you give us exactly what we need when we're going through the valley of the shadow of death. When we feel like every bit of our life has been squeezed out of us and we have nothing except for despair and pain to hold on to, I thank you that in that moment you are enough and you give us what we need for that moment. I thank you that this life that we live is not all that there is, but there is a life eternal with you and with the family of God. I pray that you would work in us, Lord Jesus. Help us to trust and to know and to grow in our faith. Thank you, Lord, for not casting us away, but for pursuing us relentlessly, that we can know that your presence never leaves, forsakes, or abandons us, in Jesus' name. With nobody looking around, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today and you've never started a relationship with Jesus, the promise that he gives us is anybody who asks, anybody who calls upon his name, anybody who says, God, I need you. We believe that Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross of his own volition. He offered himself up on behalf of all people who would put their trust and hope and faith in him, that his death on the cross would be payment for the wrongs and sins that we have done and things that have been done to us. And he said anybody who would put their trust or hope in Jesus would have their wrongs and sins forgiven and would receive eternal life, but also life here on this planet. And if you've never begun that today, I just would invite you, lift up a hand as a sign of saying, God, I need to begin with Jesus today. I want to walk with you. If I miss you, wave at me. I don't want to miss you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Over these next weeks and months and years, you know, I like when things stay the same. I was looking back over the last 21 years of pastoring here at Hillside. There's been a lot of joy. There's been a lot of hard things. More joy than not. One thing I can always be sure of is that God's never been far away. I'm praying that whatever you're going through, wherever you're at, you'll experience the closeness of his presence, the sureness of his love, and the promise of his blessing working in you, working through you, and working in those that you touch. Because here's the thing. God doesn't just work in you. He then works in you to be a blessing to other people. He blesses through his people to bless other people who will then bless other people. It's God's way of undoing and destroying the works of darkness, works of the devil, and doing so with the very instruments that the enemy's trying to wipe out. And we can walk forward and keep going straight because he is with us. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 through 27. The blessing upon you is this: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So you will put his name on you, and he will bless you. Be it unto us according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. There's going to be a couple people in the back here available to pray for you. If there's something that's popped up during the day, please don't bail without connecting with somebody if you'd like to have someone pray for you. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's W-E-B @hillside4.org.